Now shall continue and sing 190, a very familiar old hymn, with much joy and much rejoicing in it. Hymn 190. O Christ, He is the fountain, the deep, sweet well of love. The streams of earth I've tasted, more deep I'll drink above. There to an ocean's fullness, His mercy doth expand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's life.
Thank you.
come to Acts chapter 8, please. Acts at the 8th chapter. Just let me say while we're turning up, give out the information at the same time. I say how glad I am to see you here this afternoon. We've prayed very earnestly that the Lord would bless you, and the word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, would encourage your heart to this day and generation which you live. We do trust that you'll enjoy this meeting, and you'll take something with you that you can, as I usually say, chew over at your own quiet time. Now, you'll not forget tonight, we have a prayer meeting at 6:45 in the back room here. There's a number of chairs there, and it's nice and comfortable as far as physical comfort is concerned. We'll be glad to see you at the prayer meeting. Then we have our gospel meeting at 6:50, and we'll be glad to see you at that, especially if you've come praying with all your heart the same as we do at normal times. And you'll not forget that at 8 o'clock tonight, we're out at Gulberwick. So if I haven't got a preaching engagement for today, I don't know what I've got. Morning, 2 in the afternoon, 2 at night. So I'm very, very happy to be here, and it shows that I need your prayers. I need them very, very much. Easy to preach, not so easy to get the power of the Spirit of God into the meeting. So pray for us, and remember that today we're at the Sunday school, and we're going to have boys and girls meetings each night during the week. If you're free at all, don't be afraid to come, because we always make you welcome, and we've never had anybody disappointed to ever come to a boys and girls meeting yet, whether they're grannies of 99 or uncles or aunties or fathers or mothers. We'll be glad to see you, and we trust you will come if you can. And don't forget Wednesday at 7:30 and Friday at 7:30. Now on Wednesday night we hope that we'll have quite a good number here, and we'll have a good time of prayer for the first half. And the second half I hope to pass on a word to the saints again. Then on Friday night, our usual, or maybe unusual, ministry meeting, when I'm again here, trusting the Lord will give me help and strength to carry on. Now, Acts chapter 8, please. Verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man, called Simon, which before time in the city, in the same city, used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God, and to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was not fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized. hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that, through laying on of hands of the apostles, the Holy Ghost was given. He offered them money, saying, "Give me all to this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast here part and lot in this matter. For thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou hast been a God of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity." Then answered Simon, said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me." They, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages to the Samaritans, of the Samaritans. And the Lord will bless for us the reading of his precious word. On Friday night we had a time together and a bit of reading in the Acts of the Apostles, and we endeavoured to turn over the scripture a little from the second chapter to see just exactly what the New Testament church was. I know very well that there are many churches in the scriptures, and I know very well that each of them are marked by certain practices and principles. When the Lord Jesus was here upon earth, he preached that his church would be built and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. When he died on a cross and he rose triumphant, but he didn't leave this church without evidence, without witness, without power. And so when he comes back in the Revelation in the first, second and third chapters, he comes back as a person that has been glorified in heaven, but he's given the church a chance over a certain period of time to express itself. And when he comes back, he gazes upon these seven churches and he identifies them with certain practices, with certain principles. And of course you don't need me to tell you that each and every one of them are all different, but he knows all about them. And you see, this day that we are living in, we are talking about certain things and we mean well, but are we showing? Or if the Lord Jesus came in, would he say this about us that we say about ourselves? Would he have as high opinion of us as we have of ourselves? Because Mark, he's not worried what you say. He's not worried what I preach. And he's very interested in what I do and the state of my heart towards him and his cause. And it wasn't the thing that they wanted him to say that he said in Revelation 2 and 3. But it was the thing that the burning eyes penetrated right down to. Perhaps it was a surprise to them. Perhaps it was a great enlightenment to them. But it didn't deliver them from the judicial eyes glaring in and exposing the marks that he knew them by. The marks that he wanted to put upon them, that they would understand just exactly where they were and what they were. So on that ground, I took up Acts chapter 2 and tried to sift out the marks that the Lord himself by the Spirit had given in this second chapter of the Acts to the church on the day of Pentecost and thereon. And so this afternoon, I would leave with you just the one or two things that we said on Friday night, so as you can connect them up with what we're going to talk about today. The first outstanding thing we saw about this church of Pentecost, they were spirit-filled. I know Pentecostal preacher. They were spirit-filled. And we found that through them being spirit-filled, interesting things happened. Because you can't have the one without the other. And we saw that when a spirit-filled man stood and preached the gospel, when they were all together, when they were all in one place, the Spirit came, and when he stood up, the 11 stood up with him. There was no sections. There was no schisms. There was no divisions. There was no bodies. There was one Spirit filling each and every one, and those that were together. Those that were in the one place, when it comes to the preaching of the gospel, six on one side and five on the other, and Peter preached. And a spirit-filled man has neither time nor place for separation, division, and cutting off the body of Christ to suit himself. Peter, the spokesman, six on the one side and five on the other, those that were all filled with the Spirit. What was the result? 3,000 souls were saved and added. And added. Don't forget the added. Most of us know that there's been a lot of campaigns. There's been a lot of floss. There have been a lot of things said and done. There have been a lot of professions. There weren't added. But when spirit-filled preaching and spirit-filled believers are united, and it's not conversion only, it's continuation. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And we saw the second thing. We saw when we come to Acts that there were a sin-hating people. Sin-hating. That's a very strong statement. Where do you find that? They were baptized. Baptized. I came across a word, perhaps it wasn't convenient, but it was well meant. I wasn't speaking on believer's baptism, I was speaking on Bible baptism. There's a great difference. A believer can be baptized and not change the whit. There's not a person in that book that ever was baptized that come to Jesus Christ with all the heart that wasn't changed. When they come to the baptism of time, they come at the one side and they look down into a grave. When their eyes on the other side are taken up with a resurrected, glorified Christ, and they can't go on without him. Because the old man is dead and he's buried in there. They become a sin-hating people. They also become a separated people. What separated them? Well, of course, it was spirituality. They had no trouble with the world. They had no trouble with world winners. Those that were gathered together, those that were added, those that were baptized were men and women of spirit-filled preaching, spirit-filled company, and they were added to that which could not condone world or worldliness. Here we are now. We're not just there at the second chapter, we're going on to the eighth. What do we find? Well, we find a man in the 6th chapter whose name was Philip, that was filled with the Spirit. In the 8th chapter in verse 5 it says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Read the 8th chapter and you'll find preached and preaching is mentioned 7 times. It's the preaching chapter. What did he do? Well, he was a spirit-filled preacher. He wasn't a Sunday atheist. He wasn't a sermonizer. He wasn't all full of flowers. He preached Christ. What's the result? And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip preached, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Where's the spirit-filled preacher today that can show that? Where is the New Testament church that's got that? I tell you, in Revelation 2 and 3, the Savior marks out the characteristics. Whether it was something they didn't know, or something that was good that were enlightened in, or something that brought sore hearts to them, it was all true. Here's the characteristics of the New Testament church. Yes, he went to preach, but look what it says. When you come to verse 9, there was a certain man called Simon. Well, we've read about Simon many a time, haven't we? We're not going to discuss just at the moment whether Simon was saved or not, but I'm going to tell you this. The scripture says he believed. The scripture says he was baptized. The scripture says he went down and continued with God. That's great, marvelous. Aye, when the church in Jerusalem heard that Samaria heard the word, they said, now, great news. But we want verification for it. What are we going to do? Send down Peter and John. What glad you sent down Peter. Someone has written a book and called it The Big Fisherman. I don't know the first thing about the book. I don't even know for the colour of the batter on it. I don't know if he's just conveyed the thought that Peter was a big fisherman, and saying it sort of bringing him down a peg or something. I don't know. But I know this. The last time I spoke to me at one of our brethren about fishermen, I said, don't you say a word to me about them, for I know them. I said, the best people ever I worked amongst. I'm not slapping their back either. Why did they send Peter? Because they were spirit-filled. The Spirit makes no mistake. Why did they send Peter? Because he was a man of many and peculiar gifts. Big fisherman? Oh yes, he was. But don't forget, Philip was an evangelist. And when Philip preached, 3,000 souls were saved. Evangelist Peter. Don't forget. And in John chapter 21, Peter was commissioned. What was he to do? Feed my arm. Shepherd my sheep. So he was a shepherd. Two roads don't always go together, you know. The Spirit of God knows the man he's enduring. But he wasn't only an evangelist and a shepherd. Peter was a teacher. And in this Bible of mine, I have 2 epistles of Peter. Christological. 7 times in the first epistle, the sufferings of Christ. A teacher. better gift than all. What gift had he better than that? He had the gift of discernment. Read it. But Peter was sent down, it tells us. And of course, when Peter came down and he prayed for them and he laid his hand upon them, they received the Holy Ghost. Oh, says Simon, there's power for you. There's power for you. Now he says, I want that power. Not only did he want the power, but he wanted to use that power to any person he wanted. Is that what you're looking for? You trying to play with the Holy Spirit's power? You trying to show who you are? To gather company around you to look up to you that you are the man of power? Poor Simon. Read what it says. What does it say? But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Poor Simon. But listen to what he said. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. Thy heart is not right with God. New Testament church. And here's a fellow and it's not right with God. You can get in with the crowd. You can follow on with Philip. You can be baptized, but your heart is not right with God. Tell me, Peter could see further than he knows. And he could see through an awful lot of folk that didn't give him credit for it. What does it say? Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness. Peter. You're not afraid you get read out of the church speaking to saints like that. Wickedness? Well, that's exactly what he says. And he says, you're in a gall of bitterness and a bond of iniquity. Testament church, you know. Did not do what the Saviour did. Not putting his finger on all these marks and say, identify it by these marks. See, when you get spirit filled men to deal with, you just can't kid them on to use a glass for slang. What does he say? He says you're in a gall of bitterness. He says you want to try and tell me that you want power, that you can distribute it to who you like, that you might be a chief man amongst the brethren. He says you can't do that. Spirit of God doesn't work that way. If you've got them in your assembly, we've got them in ours, you know. New Testament church at all. So we have that quite clear and distinct. What does it say in the first chapter? We've gone to the first chapter, you've got Peter again, haven't you? What a certain man, same faith, made Ananias with Sapphira his wife stole the possession and they kept back part of the price. My New Testament judge, with a person like this in it and a wife beating and abusing him. Yes, it's there. What was he doing? God's work.
You see how earnest I am about giving my financial support to the Lord and to His people.
That was all I went to God. That was all I went to God. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Very strong language, brethren. Come up your sin, you know. Do it when nobody's looking. Show the state how great a person you are at the forefront. Never mind what's at the back. Peter goes to the heart. Why? To the Holy Spirit. First time you meet a Jehovah's Witness. Take them to Acts chapter 5. See, why did Peter call him God? You lie to an influence when it's God you're trying to play with. So Peter says, distinctive. What? Well, he says, you've lied. Young men, carry it out. Tragic state of affairs, brethren and sisters. Hidden sin. Can't deceive the Holy Spirit.
Oh, deceive your brethren always. Deceive your husband and wife always.
Never deceive the Holy Spirit. Never.
Notice. Come down a bit. Verse 7. And it was about the space of 3 hours after,
when his wife,
not knowing
what was done, came in.
And Peter.
My, I thought you were just a big fisherman. I thought you were just an ordinary man.
And Peter answered unto her, tell me,
whether you sold the land for so much.
And she said, yes, for so much, yes.
Then Peter said unto her,
how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Holy Spirit
of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. What a tremendous thing, Peter.
You're dealing with the early church, a New Testament church, and that's going on in it.
Well, that's what looked by the Spirit wrote anyway, and he's the only one that's got authority to say it that I know.
No, brethren, sisters, the early church is no different from other things in the Scripture.
You'll remember, as you read your Bible, in Exodus chapter 28, there was a priesthood established. And when you come to Numbers, the priesthood was into operation. And when you come to Numbers chapter 10, you get two priests playing a part that they had no right to.
They're offering up strange fire.
Oh, they were priests. They were ordained, they were anointed, they were clothed. Playing a part. Offering strange fire in the presence of God. What happened? Same as Ananias and Sapphira. Well, it wasn't Peter this time, it was the Lord. Consuming fire come out, consumed them up.
kingdom was established. David had brought it through. And it was established that he was going to hand it on. Two men stood up against him. Who were they? Abner and Ish-bosheth. And we're going to crown Ish-bosheth. And we're going to set up a kingdom of our own against what's established. You can't deny it, it's there. God's mind, God's will, God's revelation. David, I'll establish the kingdom in thee. Abner says, no fear. As Washer says, that could be a place of something that's in opposition. Too many oppositions now. What did David do? Well, he went. Where? And they carried Abner to his grave. David wept and lamented. Died Abner as a fool dieth. Oh, you can palm it off, you're the big shot, you're the big chief, and you can raise up against the establishment, but God knows all about it. It's as clear in the scripture as it's fit to be. How many were doing this? Oh yes, they were chewing it. He went and lay back in his lady bed. Somebody else will attend to me. The very same man David had a head handed to him. There's the head of your enemy. Against the established order. Against God's mind and God's established will. Yes, at the kingdom. The holiness of chapter 2. Penetrating chapter 3 and 4. Brought out 2 in chapter 5. That followed the same week. Be careful if you're in division. Careful if you're trying to establish something that's contrary to the mind and will of God. Be careful you're not showing a part and playing a part. Neither heart nor anything else in. But Peter. I never thought Peter was such a great man for recently, you know, till I got down to this. Notice what it says. Verse 10, then fell she down straightway at his feet, yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in and found her dead and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. But great fear came upon all the church. Where is the great fear now? Where is the holy awe and reverence now? Why, when you come to some of our meetings, according to the dress and according to the demeanor, they think it was a social service we were in. For a night out. Notice what it says. Great fear. By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought. Verse 12. Verse 13. And of the rest, doth no man join himself to them? No worldling wanted to come into that crowd. Why, their lives would be had a death light on them, revealing who they were and what they were, with a radiance of spirituality of spirit-filled people. Tell me, that what was noticed at all rates, read what it says, but the people magnify men. Is that what it says? That's what it says in my Bible. Well, you see, brethren and sisters, this church was marked. Church to death, is this, Sardis, Thyatira, the rest of them, they all were marked. So is ours. So is ours. If we are not going to take heed to what the Lord said to the seven in Revelation, then of course we'll just be deaf adders. That's what the scripture means, to clear up that which is wrong in our church life and church fellowship, or else we're deaf to the word of the Saviour as recorded, and to the dictates of the Spirit in our heart. Then when we come to chapter 8, in chapter 11 rather, there's another movement. When you come to chapter 11, this movement was right off. Verse 22, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which is in Jerusalem. And they said for Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. And when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, and with purpose of heart that they should cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, a full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. What happened then? And much people was added unto the Lord. Somebody says, well, according to what the scripture says, brethren, it's time we rethought our thinking. It's time we really inquired into the facts of whether we're a New Testament church or whether we're just a sham or a shadow of the real. Peter, Philip, Barnabas, filled with the Spirit, proved it by the signs that followed. That's Spirit-filled preaching. That's Spirit-filled teaching. That's Spirit-filled people, sensitive to the fact of sin and separation from all things that are below God's standard and that God cannot have. When you come to chapter 8 again, a very familiar passage, but a different line. Verse 26, it says in verse 26 in chapter 8, the angel of the Lord speak unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Well, I don't know if I had taken that advice. Do you not know that there's a revival in Samaria? Do you not know that I'm preaching every day and every night and the multitudes being saved? But Philip was a spirit-filled man. What did he do? Listen to what the Lord had to say. And I'm very well sure of this, that the saints didn't agree with Philip leaving. Philip! All these multitudes are being saved and being added, and you're going to go away. And you say you've got to go away to a desert. Who will you find in a desert? reputation. He wasn't interested in what his brethren and sisters thought about him. He was mighty interested in not grieving the Spirit of God that was filling him. I understand that this is a 65 miles walk. So, immediately, wait! Have a question. And 65 miles did not be covered in 1, 2, perhaps 3 to 4 days. Doesn't say where he slept at night, you know. Doesn't see how many blisters on his feet. Doesn't see what he did the thrawing heat of the day. When he got to the desert. Sand, 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 sand. Got there. Oh, Spirit of God speaking again. Angel of the Lord, glue yourself to this chariot. What did he do? Give up. Spirit-filled man, you know. No hesitation. What happened? Well, we found the man in a query. Isaiah 53, and he couldn't understand it. Spirit-filled man that could answer the dictates of the Spirit in spite of the church and all the rest of the people of the sea was a fool. He stepped up beside him. What did he do? Preached unto him Jesus. What happened? Well, he expounded Isaiah 53, showing how that the prophet had a great focus on Christ and the cross and the sin bearer and the shepherd and the coming king and the glory that's to fall. Why, said the Ethiopian, I've got it now. There's water, God. What's the hinder me to be baptized? Not Simon is speaking to this time, it's the Ethiopian eunuch. If thou believest with all thy heart, not your head, no notions, no hallucinations, no traditions, all thy heart, I believe, I believe. Is that it? That's what he said anyway. When he believed, he went down and he baptized. Poor Philip. Oh no. No, no, the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord, what a way, Philip. He was found in a desert, still preaching. Spirit-filled. Here he is, quite clear and distinct. What do we find? That's Spirit-filled guidance, of course. You can't make it anything else but Spirit-filled guidance. Because he was guided all, every step of the way. No matter what we think, scriptures are clear and distinct. Spirit-filled man will always find it. Spirit-filled job for him to do, and only Spirit-filled men can do it. You see, the trouble is that we are so fond of thinking we are things, but just not. Just not. I just want to hurry and give me a minute or two for the last. I want to talk to you just a minute or two in chapter 16. What have we got in chapter 16? Same again. There never was an evangelist, nor a pastor, nor a teacher like Saul of Tarsus. Never was. Here he is, Spirit-filled man, it tells us in the 9th chapter, and further on. What happened? Well, he says, I'm going into Asia. And God thing that find them in contact with the devil. Yes, the maid. The maid. And because the devil was in direct opposition, they dismissed the spirit and got himself into a heap of trouble. Oh, this throwing the fullness of the spirit that had his traveling with the glory and wings is not in the Bible, brother and sister. What happened then? Well, they were beaten. They were beaten. They were kicked. They were bruised. Then they were put in the inner prison. They stopped holding their feet and their backs bleeding and broken bones possibly, lying against the wall. Silas said, "You there, Paul?" "Yes, Silas, I'm here. And if you have any more of these visions, please don't tell me, for I don't want to come with you." If this is what the leading of the Spirit, as you call it, means, I'm not with you. And he says, "Preacher, you're only telling them that, but that's not the scripture." Well, you know it isn't. Well, you know it isn't. They pray! They start praising! Because they were spirit filled. And being assured that this was the mind and will of God, they would not turn back to authority. This is suffering. Suffering in the spirit. Why is this all built? Why are all the assemblies and places of worship, as they call them in Glasgow? Because two men filled with the Spirit answered the Spirit's call. And went over to Macedonia, and in spite of the devil, in spite of suffering, in spite of trial, went straight off. Europe's got the gospel, and here we are. A man called Stephen in the 7th chapter. What does it say about him? Full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. He's preaching. Can't have this fellow. Must get rid of him. Brought him before the council, and the council looked upon him. His face was as the face of an angel. Poor Stephen. Doesn't say you know the Bible, Stephen. Doesn't say you can give chapter and verse for what you're doing. It does say you're full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. It does say your face shines as an angel. Then it said in the 7th chapter, Stephen being filled with the Holy Spirit faced about it. It took him out of the city. Pelted him with stones. And Stephen, kneeling down, looking up to heaven, saw the glory of God and Jesus. During his prayers, they were prayed before Acts chapter 7, they were prayed in the gospel by the Savior himself. Spirit filled man was full of faith with the faith of an angel. Turned with the glory of God radiating in his face to meet the Christ in glory. So the New Testament church believed in preaching in the Spirit, teaching in the Spirit, separating in the Spirit, sedating in the Spirit, suffering in the Spirit, dying in the Spirit. Jesus Christ.
Christ was taking account, as he did in Revelation 2 and 3 of the first church, these are the marks that would mark it. It's time we had a look to see what marks he's going to talk about when we see him face to face. O God, our Heavenly Father, we thank thee and praise thee for thy word. We thank thee and praise thee, Lord, that thou hast revealed certain things to us. We praise and magnify thy name for the joy and the blessing it gives to know them. Now knowest, Lord, the cry of our hearts is the days of grace and willingness and ability to do them, and to do them in the Spirit, that the glory of God might be manifest. Part us with thy blessing, enable us to walk worthy of our high and holy calling of God in Christ Jesus, for his name's sake.